Number 2, total church growth.
All right, it's good to be back. Let's get on into the material again. In this session, we're going to be talking about the areas of church organization and then going on a little bit later into that of management. Now, as I have already stated yet today, there are some things that God will bless as a supplement or a complement that He will curse as a substitute. An organization is one of the things that fits within this category. Yet even though that God can curse it if it becomes a substitute, it is very vital and important for the growth of the church. Take a look at this graph I'm putting on the overhead. Amen. This is a time versus church size graph. The pastor's time and that time required to pastor compared to the increasing size of the church. Now, you'll notice that the bottom axis of the graph, that it increases as the church size goes from zero on up. And the left axis, going up the left-hand side, is the time involved or required to pastor this church. Now, the actual graph, the graph line, starts at zero for the time and the size of the church in the lower left-hand corner, and it goes upward at a 45-degree angle toward the upper right-hand corner, like this. In other words, as the church size increases, so does the time needed to pastor this church increase. And that being in a direct proportion. Now, on the other hand, what I want you to see here is this dotted line up toward the top. And you can see that it lands upon about 75 or 80 in church size. This line is labeled the point of neglect. Now, everything above this line represents a neglected church. It's neglected because that in this church, it's a one-man operation. You see, the pastor is what you might call the chief cook and bottle washer. Amen. He's everything. The pastor is over yard maintenance, and he's over all building repairs, and the pastor is in charge of all the visitor follow-up, and he's in charge and oversees the Bible study ministry, and the pastor oversees the outreach, and he's the men's ministry director, and he oversees the music ministry, and he's in charge of the Sunday school. He's it. He's everything. And the church has ceased to grow. You see, when the church was small, it was fine. The pastor could be involved and basically in charge of everything. But now that the church has begun to grow, and it's reached around 75 or 80, he runs into the point of neglect. And that is the point where which he is maxed out. He cannot do anything else. Amen. He's meeting himself coming backwards, so to speak. He's spending all of his time just pastoring and overseeing the 75 or 80 that he currently has. If the church is going to continue to grow, he has got to multiply himself into other leaders and increase the amount of leadership ministry within the church. Now, I usually begin, as far as organization is concerned, with a basic organizational chart. It's the organizational chart that gives us an overview of the various delegated leadership positions within the church. Now, if you'll look in Volume 1 of your binder, And this being in Chapter 1 of Volume 1, and I'd like you to turn to the back of the binder, the back of Chapter 1. Now, I believe this is about page 14 or 15 of Chapter 1. What you'll find is is two sample organizational charts. One is for a larger church, usually at least about 120, 150 in size and larger. The second is for a smaller church sample organization. And this would probably fit a church that has maybe 50 or 60 in size on down. And so I'm taking it to the two extremes. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this organizational chart because really every church organization is different. And it would not be right or proper for me to get up here and tell you this is the way to organize your church, or these are the departments that you need, or these are the directors that you should appoint. Because you see, the church is a body. And being a body, and all of the local congregations making up the body of Christ, each local congregation is individual within itself. Just like people are different. Amen. Not everybody looks the same. We're not all cut out of the same mold. And different bodies have different requirements and different needs. And so, just like people are different, churches are going to be different. They're going to have different departments and different ministries and different programs according to the need of that church, that facility, in that city. Amen. But there are several things I want to point out that are similar with all churches. Amen. Because you see, there are some similarities about all people. All people have two legs and they have two arms and they got eyes and feet and hands and so on. These are similarities that all people have in common. And so I want to touch on not some specific areas of organization, but rather some generalized areas that should be the same or similar within most churches. Now, you will see from the organizational chart at the top, it has Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd. And of course, this is the way it is. Jesus is the chief shepherd. He's in charge of this thing. God is the one that's directing our operation. And beneath Jesus Christ is that of the pastor. The pastor is an under-shepherd. He is the overseer. Paul told us in Acts, the 20th chapter, he said to take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Amen. God has placed the pastor in charge to oversee the church. The church is not run by a church board. The church is not to be run by a board of elders. It's not a what you might call a congregational approach. And that has the pastor at the bottom and he is subservient to the entire congregation. And he's nothing but a hireling. No, my friend, the pastor is a bishop. The pastor is an overseer. He is a shepherd. Amen. But you see, with this position as a pastor also comes responsibility. The responsibility to lead the church into a fruitful ministry, to do the will of God and obey the voice of God and follow the direction of God for your city, for your congregation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want it to sound, and please understand me here, I don't want it to sound that total church growth is the only way to grow a church or the only way to pastor or to organize. 1,000 times no. But I do want you to realize that what I'm presenting to you is a way to pastor, a way to organize and manage. And it is a successful way for many. And of course, my question would be, if it's not this way, then what way? Because as pastor, as a leader, as a minister of God, we are an overseer. And as overseer, we will stand before God. And the Bible says that we will give an account. as to what we have done with the purpose and the plan of God in our city and our community. And what was our plan of action that we had to reach our community? Amen. What I'd like you to consider is the plan or the outlay of material of Total Church Growth today. Now, coming on down from the pastor on the sample organizational charts are the legal aspects of the church. These, of course, are required by the state charter and as well as our organizational manual. Amen. We're supposed to have a secretary treasurer for legal purposes. We also have a board of trustees or a church board within the church. Amen. They work beneath the direction and leadership of the pastor. But then you'll see beneath this is that of the department heads committee. Now, all departments come out from this box. There's a reason why I put it on my samples in this manner. I put it on there to show that the departments are not independent of one another. Amen. Now, I could have drawn 12 different lines, all coming from the pastor, each of them going to a different department or ministry, each one independent, each one answerable only to the pastor. But friend, that is not true organization. You see, what one department does affects another department. What one ministry begins is going to have an effect upon another ministry. We have got to work together. Amen. This is a body. It's a unit. It's a team. All of this body has got to be coordinated together so that when a step is taken, the whole body moves in unity with that step. What kind of a body would it be if the arm was off, hopping off, doing its own thing, and the leg went crawling off over its direction, and the ears went flapping off somewhere else? Amen. That's not a body. That's not the way that God intended for it to be. Everything coordinated, everything working together. It's an army of God going forth. Everyone knows their position, everybody in their place, everybody working together. That is an organization. And so your department ministries of the church make up a team. This is a department heads committee. What this also shows is the pastor's commitment to meet with his delegated directors on a regular basis. Amen. The pastor, he has to coordinate all of these ministries so that they are working together. Pastor, if you are not committed to work with your delegated leaders, then please don't bother appointing them. Because when you abandon the man, you also abandon the ministry and the department. Amen. You see, the arm has, or the leg, or another part of the body, it must receive regular signals from the brain to operate. But the brain is not attached directly to the arm. Rather, it sends its commands through the spinal cord. Jesus is the brain of this operation. And the pastor is the spinal cord through which all directives travel from the brain. And if the arm is not attached to the spinal cord, friend, it's useless. I don't care how alive it is. I don't care how much blood flows through it. I don't care how strong its sinews and bones are. If it's not attached to the signals coming from the brain, it won't function. Amen. Pastor, you have got to be committed to work with your directors, to bring to them the signals and directives and commands that God is placing upon your heart, to see revival come within your city. Praise God! Oh, it's a beautiful thing when we begin to see God's overall plan. The next thing I want you to notice is the two major arms of this organizational chart. You'll see that under those two rows of boxes, at the top left-hand side, you'll see the church division. And on the right-hand side row of boxes, at the top, you'll see evangelism division. These represent the two major objectives of the church. You see, your objectives are your reason for being, your reason of existence, your purpose for being there. And there are two purposes or objectives that God has given to His church. The purpose of the church is not to make money, to raise money, to become a wealthy institution. The purpose of the church is not to just become a social or country club. But rather, the objectives and purpose of the church is given repeatedly in the Word of God. But let me refer to that of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in verse 11 and 12. The Bible says He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why did He do this? For the twofold purpose of the church. First, for the perfecting of the saints. The first purpose of the church is to present a bride without spot or wrinkle unto Him until that day. Amen! We're the bride of Christ. We're to be perfect and spotless. We're to have the Holy Ghost and be pure within this present world. And then the second purpose of the church is for that of the working of the ministry. You're to perfect the saints so that the saints and the members of our church might go forward with the pastor to do the ministry, and that is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Seeking and saving that which is lost. Everything we do within the church must come under these two objectives. Nothing must distract us from our purpose. Nothing must deter us from our objectives. Amen. We've got to perfect the bride. We've got to reach the lost. And these represent the two major arms of the church. You see, the church division, it ministers inward to help the church, perfect the church, to strengthen the church, to minister to the church. The evangelism division ministers outward to reach a world, to reach the lost, to reach those without Christ. What I want you to see in all of this is the balance on both sides. You see, for a body to function properly, it's got to be balanced. You ever seen somebody with one leg longer than the other, or one leg shorter than the other? And how that they stumble and falter along? And have you ever seen somebody who perhaps have had a stroke and one side is not functioning or one side is paralyzed? Friend, the whole body is affected because one side or one part is affected. And friend, for a body to work properly, it must be balanced. Now, in some churches that I've been to, I can go over to the church division side and I'll ask the pastor, well, what kind of ministries do you have that minister and help the body? And boy, I mean, he'll give me a list that'll go off the bottom of the page. He has a ladies' ministry, and he has men's ministries, and he has a youth ministry, and he has youth clubs for the little kids, and he has a young marriage fellowship, and he has a singles ministry, and he has the home builders, and then the golden agers, and he has the deaf ministry, and on he can go, the very social-type ministries of the church. And these are not wrong. They're good. I encourage them. But realize that all of these ministries, primarily, they minister inward. Now, every department will also have a secondary function. And that is the help the other side of the chart. Amen. And so all of these ministries I've just listed, they also will be involved in reaching the lost. But that's not their primary purpose. Their primary purpose is to minister to the body. And then we'll go to the other side of the chart, and I'll ask that same pastor, well, how many evangelism ministries do you have? And he has maybe a Sunday school, and then at most, a outreach department. And that's all. Amen. Sometimes all they have on the other side is just a Sunday school. And their Sunday school has primarily become a inward institution ministering only to church saints and church children. You see, he is out of balance. He has one leg extensively longer than the other. And the church is not growing because of it. It's become ingrown. It's become inward focused. It's all upon itself and nothing outside to a hungry world. Amen. All of their energies go into social type ministries. And so there's no growth. But you know, I've also seen the other kind of extreme. And that is where the evangelism side will go right off the bottom of the page. And I mean, they'll have an outreach department, but not only the outreach, they'll have home Bible study, and they'll have visitor follow-up, and they'll have Sunday school and bus ministry, and they'll have a track ministry and a door-knocking ministry. They'll have street services and street evangelism and rest home services, and they got a prison ministry and an ethnic ministry, and on and on and on. They have various outreach evangelism ministries. Thank God for it. But when you go to the other side of the chart, all they have is a ladies' auxiliary. Maybe, if you're lucky, they have a youth. And all they're winning souls like crazy. Sure they are. But they're losing them just as fast as they're winning them. Amen. Because all of their efforts is spent on reaching people and nothing on discipling them, establishing them, making them a part of the body. A church needs to be balanced. You need to have as much time and as much focus and as much energy on one side as the other. Now, please understand me. I'm not saying that the two sides of your chart will be exactly the same number of departments. It may be off by a department or even two. But it won't be off by five or six departments difference. Amen. But rather, there should be somewhat an equal emphasis upon each side. Most of the churches I've worked with, they'll only have about one department difference, if they have any. There's another thing about this organizational chart I'd like to point out. And that is the way that the outreach ministry is handled. Now, in most churches that I've been in, most in Pentecost, it seems that they place everything under the single umbrella of the outreach department. Have you ever seen somebody that was a weightlifter that had built entirely their strength into one arm? Of course you haven't. That weightlifter builds his entire body. So his body will be balanced. Amen. What would a person look like if they had one arm that was 20 feet long? I mean, this big old giant arm, and they look like that Popeye character. Yeah, the right arm is huge. I mean, this massive old thing. But the other arm is a little skinny, slender thing. Friend, it doesn't work. One man over an outreach department cannot handle all the outreach ministries, all the home Bible study, all visitor follow-up, all bus ministry, all door knocking, all street ministries, all rest home, all prison, all ethnic. He can't handle everything. One man's not able to do all of that. But that's the way we find it in the greatest majority of our churches. Amen. The key is to take the vital, critical ministries of outreach and separate them out and make them separate departments with their own leader. Now, your most critical outreach ministries are usually these. Home Bible study. I encourage, if at all possible, for a home Bible study to have its own department director to be its own department. Amen. So that man can have a singular focus upon home Bible study and put all of his energies and all of his efforts in the scene home Bible study work properly. I usually encourage visitor follow-up to be a singular department, singular in focus, one person overseeing this ministry. The reason is visitor follow-up is a very extensive job. If we're following up upon our visitors properly, friend, it's going to take quite a bit of effort and work if this person also works a full-time job. I usually like to see promotions and advertising be a separate department in a larger church, if at all possible. And most assuredly, I like to see new convert care to be its own department and its own ministry. But it don't even belong on the evangelism side. It's a discipleship ministry. Amen. It belongs on the other side of the chart. And so these departments, most of them, will function so much better if the director is not so spread out in his focus that he can't be effective in any of them. Amen. And what this does also is it puts the power of your organizational management program behind each of them so that each of them can be strong and effective. Another point I'd like to make is the fact of the number of departments that you might have. And it is my own personal belief that the maximum number of departments recommended within any church is 12. And that's even a large church. I mean a church running 1,000 or more. I usually only recommend about 12 major departments. There's a reason for this. Of course, we all know that in the Word of God, 12 is the number of government. And it was quite surprising to me as I went to college after my Bible school education to find out that in my secular college that they also talked about the number 12. And how that in the secular world that most businesses try to restrict the number of divisions of a company to be 12 or less. You see, the concept, the reason for this is what is known as the span of control. And the span of control is how many individuals that one person can adequately supervise. One man has trouble supervising any more than 12 people. When you get over 12, 13 people, he begins to lose track and lose touch with the various ministries. I went to one church here several years ago, and they had 28 some different departments. And while I was with them, they had a quarterly council meeting with all of these. And I mean, it was a house full. And we spent about 3.5 hours that evening going over the various aspects of those 28 some departments. And all we did, in all actuality, was put dates on a calendar. Went from the department to department, and they said, well, we're going to be doing this quarter and that, and we're going to start this over here, and we're planning on trying that over there, and so on. There was no real discussion. There was no real group planning. There wasn't any real reporting. There was no in-depth analysis of the needs of those departments, or there wasn't any coordinating of activities. It was just, this is what we're planning on doing. And 3.5 hours later, we finally got all the dates put down. That's because there were so many. And it was impossible to do any real discussion because of the time factor involved. I'll be touching and going into this a little bit later on when we talk about management. But friend, we need to try to keep our organization lean yet effective. Because when an organization gets too large, instead of the pastor managing his church, the departments begin to manage themselves. And so I encourage a church, when it starts small, and of course a smaller church may only have 5 or 6 departments, 10, to not allow it to grow up to more than about 12 or 13 in size. In fact, 14 is the absolute stopping point. And then from that point onward, the department itself should grow. The ministries within that department should grow. Amen. Their interdepartmental staff should grow. And as the church grows, then that departmental structure within the departments will grow also. And those leaders of the departments must become managers within their own right. Praise God. Amen. The department leader has also got to learn how to delegate. The department leader has also got to learn not to carry everything himself and try to do everything himself. Or he too, as the church grows, will max out in his department just like the pastor can max out within the growth of the church. And then a final point I want to make concerning the organizational structure samples that you have is that the structure is not designed just to look pretty. What departments that you have in your church and what ministries that you have depends upon your situation and your needs. Period. That's all that should determine your ministries and departments. What you need, what is responsible or needful in your church. It should not be a department that I choose to have just because everybody else is having one. It should not be a ministry or a department just because I think it would look nice on a piece of paper. Nor should it even be a department or ministry just because Brother Massengill recommended it to be so. I cannot tell you, Pastor, what you should have within your church. Only you and God can decide. This organizational chart is made to be functional, to work, to be effective, and to fit the needs and requirements of your city and your church. Amen. It need not make any sense to anybody except yourself. For example, let's say you had a music director, and your music director also just happened to own a lawn and garden service. And so on your organizational chart, since that fellow's doing your lawn work around your church, you might have yard maintenance under music. Well, you're not designing this thing to show to all of your friends. You're designing it to work. Or you might have a prayer ministry director that just happens to own a print shop. And so you might have all flyers and literature publication underneath prayer. That don't need to make sense to anybody except you. What's important is that it's functional, and that it works for you, and that it produces. I had one pastor one time when we sat down to do the organizational chart. We got about 7 on one side, about 5 departments on one side, and we went down the other side and we had about 4, and he had one empty block down there. And I mean, he was bound and determined to fill that block. He didn't care what he had to fill it with. It didn't make any difference. I mean, he had to have something in there. It had to look right. It had to be pretty. And friend, that's not right. That's not the way it should be. Now, you're probably saying, Brother Massengill, how should I go about designing my own structure? Well, before you begin, I encourage you to read this first chapter from beginning to end. Before you put anything on paper, read it through and catch the vision of what we're trying to do here. Now at the end of chapter 1 is some sample departmental structures. It goes all the way from 3 departments, which would be a very small church, probably even 20, 30 in size, up to 12 departments. And some of the normal places that I've seen ministries and programs placed. Again, these are nothing but samples, nothing but suggestions. A small church has got to set her priorities. Because you see, if you're only averaging about 30 in size, and you only got about 12 or 14 adults in the whole church, then you're not going to be able to have 12 departments. Amen. I'll guarantee you, if you only got 12 or 14 adults in the church, you don't have 12 competent leaders to place over department ministries. Before you appoint leaders, there is much that needs to be considered. And this is explained within chapter 1. As well as chapter 4. In fact, I would encourage you to read through chapter 4 also before you go ahead and lay out your organizational structure. The number of departments that you have will depend in a large part upon the qualified leadership that you have to draw from. Amen. Is this making sense? Well, I sure hope so. Because this is such an important part. Everything else is built from this foundation. Everything else grows from this position. There needs to be a lot of time and a lot of prayer and a lot of work put into developing your organizational structure. Because what we're talking about here is organization. We're talking about delegation and about multiplying your ministry so that you can handle the revival that God wants to send. You see, the process of organization and the process of delegation. It's not so a pastor can just sit back and do nothing and let everybody else do it for him. No, sir. But rather what organization and delegation is for is to allow the pastor to do what only he can do. What God called him to do. No one else can take your place, pastor, in your pulpit as a pastor. No one else can take your place in counseling, in pastoral counseling. No one else can ever take your place in correcting or disciplining sheep that have gone astray. No one else will ever take your place, pastor, in motivating and leading the entire church. No one else can do it like you do it. No one else can take your place in the selecting and developing of leaders for the body of Christ. And no one else can do the praying that you need to do for yourself and your ministry. Nobody else can do the fasting that you need to do. No one else can do the study and the in-depth analysis of the Word for the needs of your church that you need to do. You see, Peter, the Apostle Peter, felt in the Holy Ghost that when the first great crisis of the early church hit, that in this crisis of Acts chapter 6, what did God tell Peter? Let's turn there. In fact, I want to read that. Acts the 6th chapter, and I want to read verses 2, 3, and 4. Turn there with me, if you will. In fact, I want to begin at verse number 1 in the 6th chapter. The Bible says that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, and notice they multiplied, they were growing. And when growth comes, there's going to be problems come. That's a part of it. There's some growing pains here. The Bible says that there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration or the allotments of food. Then the twelve called the multitudes of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But that we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Friend, when God impressed Peter that it was time to organize, and it was time to delegate, it was not so the apostles could sit back and go fishing and go hunting and take their ease. It was so that they could do what God called them to do, what their place was to do. Amen. And oh, this was the decision that gave birth to great men of God, of the likes of Stephen and the likes of Philip. Pastor, you too must allow others to assist you in the work of God. Moses, you need to appoint some captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and captains over fifties. This is God's method. This was Jesus' method when he first chose the 12. And friend, it's also going to be our method, and we as the men of God have got to do the same. Oh, let's love the Lord here for a moment today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. I worship you. I praise your name, God.
This is the end of 2. Read chapters 1 and 2 of Total Church Growth before continuing with 3.